Good morning. This is Santa Eford for preparing for the safety and well-being meeting. Who's on the line?
This is Jennifer Hall Jones.
Hi, Jennifer.
This is Lillian Bannerman. Lillian Bannerman.
Hi, Lillian.
Mary McMahon.
Good morning, Mary.
Good morning.
Jeff Lance.
Jeff, thank you.
Welcome.
This is Jane Conway for Senator Giesel today.
Jane?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
James Fields on.
Good morning, James.
Sarah
Laura Mulgrew.
Okay, I heard Sarah, good morning. And Laura, good morning.
Good morning.
Keith Hamilton.
Hi, Keith. Welcome.
So Pete Hefner is here as well.
Hi, Pete. Okay, right now I have James Fields, Keith Hamilton, Jennifer Hall Jones, Jane Conway for Senator Giesel, Pete Hefner, Laura Mulgrew, Mary McMahon, Sarah Sledge, Jeff Lansing, Lillian Bannerman. I have in the room Maureen Hall is with us here in Juneau, and Todd is with me in Juneau, and Aaron Harden with the department. Has anyone else joined?
Yes, Dean Williams.
Good morning, Commissioner.
Dave Tallarico.
Good morning, Representative Tallarico. I'm gonna put us on mute for just a minute. We'll wait maybe just another minute and see if anyone else joins us before we get started. Thank you. All right, again, this is Santa Eford in Juneau to begin our Safety and Well-Being Committee meeting. Has anyone else joined us?
Hi, my name is Leona Starr. Sorry I'm late.
No, Leona, thank you so much. We're glad you're here. Did I hear Norma Holmgard earlier? Are you on the phone?
I heard her, Santa.
Santa, this is Jerry. I'm on the call also.
Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning.
All right. Well, I think we'll go ahead and get started. First of all, before we start, just a couple of tips about our conference call that'll help make it flow easier for all of us. Make sure that if you are not speaking that your phone is muted. That will help cut out any background noise or echoes for anyone. Also, during our break times, do not hang up. Just put your phone on mute until we come back. As we're speaking with each other, if you are addressing someone specific, please let them know that by name and identify yourself as you're speaking when you begin. Also, I sent to each of you, and an updated version was sent this morning of a photo directory so we could start making better connections with each other and building that relationship, even though we're on a teleconference, that it will help us keep track and put a face with a voice as we're working through this morning. So as we start, I just want to say a welcome to everyone that's here. Thank you so much. Again, this is Santa Eford. I am the Deputy Commissioner for the Department of Education and Early Development. And serving as a facilitator for this committee. I am here also with Todd Brocious, who is a staff member at DEED, and he is program or head of our health and safety section in the department. Erin Hardin is with me, and she has been serving as kind of our go-to for everything for Alaska Education Challenge, kind of our technical assistance, sending information, keeping us on track and task. So I appreciate that she's here with us also this morning. And one more thanks for your commitment to this important work as we process through the next few weeks. First of all, I'd like to give us a reminder about our big picture goal that we're working toward. As we all know, we were charged through the governor's State of the State and through the State Board of Education to come back at the end of the fall or in September, October. We want to be able to put forward 2 to 3 transformational ideas that relate to the safety and well-being of students in our school system. And again, I want to emphasize transformational. I'd also like to bring your attention to the brief, I just had a brief agenda as we're going to work through the day. Right now we're talking about the overview and the challenge. Next we're going to do a little reflection of our April 20th meeting. Then I'm going to give you each an opportunity to introduce yourself again and talk a little bit about the April 20th meeting. Talk about our today's goal and purpose. Look at the categories that we identified in the April 20th meeting, and then talk about our next steps as we go forward. I'm going to now, at this time, ask James Fields, who is our board chair for the State Board of Education, to speak a little bit about the State Board's work around their strategic planning and specifically about the priority of promoting safety and well-being for our students. And if you received, you should have received the email which had the handout. If you want to refer to it from the email that I sent last Thursday, and it's titled State Board of Education Strategic Priority Promote Safety and Well-Being. So James, if you would speak just a little bit about that document and the board's strategic planning.
Okay, thank you, Santa. Yeah, my name is James Fields and I'm calling in from Glen Allen, Alaska. And we started this process over 2 years ago to try to realign where we're headed as in education in the state and try to improve student performance. The mission statement that we came up with is an excellent education for every student every day, which is easy to remember. There's a lot in there. It packs a lot. And the vision is directly out of a state statute, which is all students can succeed in their education and work, shape worthwhile and satisfying lives for themselves, exemplify the best values of society, and be effective in improving the character and quality of the world around them. And so with those, that mission and vision, we came up with the strategic priorities. And interestingly enough, the priority that we are tasked to define and come up with specific objectives to try to accomplish is the last one that we put in place. It's one of those ones that everybody knows is needs to be dealt with, but it tends to get missed. So promoting safety and well-being was actually the current commissioner came up with while we were in a meeting. He's like, I think this is an important item and needs to have its own priority. I mean, you could put it into student learning, you could put it into some of the other strategic priorities, but it's big enough that we should have that as its own priority, and the state board agreed and really thought, God, this is one that, yeah, it's obvious. The compelling data, which Santa brought, kind of made mention of with the strategic priority sheet, was the significant need for improvement in the area of student safety and well-being are evidenced by Alaska's data related to suicide, substance abuse, and violence. Alaska's overall suicide rate is almost twice the national average, currently the second highest in the nation. A depression for an extended period of time was reported by 33.6% of high school students who took the Youth Risk Behavior Survey in 2015. Our alcohol consumption rate for Alaskans is consistently higher than the national average. Maltreatment of children ranks ninth in the nation, and so on. So it's evident and obvious that we need to try to promote safety and well-being. Yes, districts are doing things, but possibly coming up with a better plan that districts don't have to make up their own is definitely evident. And I'm glad I'm on this committee. I think it's extremely important. And the reality is student learning and the other things that are around the strategic priorities won't happen unless we fix the safety and well-being in our schools and with trauma issues, the adverse childhood experiences, otherwise known as ACEs, which most of us probably know that acronym, is very evident. And I'm glad all of you chose to serve on this committee, and I'm just glad to be part of it and ready and willing to learn as much as I can. Thank you. And Keith, if you have anything to add, go ahead at this point.
Dr. Hamilton, would you like to add anything? Okay, well, we will continue with our going through our next section. So thank you, James, for that. I do want to draw your attention again in the strategic priority part under the conceptual definition. Keep children safe, healthy, and ready to learn. We want students in Alaska to be successful in school. It is important that they feel healthy, both physically and emotionally, as well as safe in school. So I want us to keep that in mind as we work through our categories that we've determined and think about how what we are talking about would translate into providing that type of environment or that would result in children coming to school being safe and healthy physically and emotionally. Again, as we go forward, in your original packet of information, there was a committee member preparation sheet, and it talked about the types of changes. And again, I want to reinforce that the type of change we are working toward for our end recommendations is transformational change, which includes practices, processes, and products that anticipate, reflect, or define the needs of a significantly different system or environment. Transformational change must be systemic and apply to all students, schools, employees, communities. It must not require resources beyond our direct control, and it must produce measurable results that can be benchmarked against higher performing states and countries. I also just want to mention that on our SmartSheet page, Jerry Covey posted the McKinsey, it's called the McKinsey Report, which talks about transformational change, and it points out a number of specific concepts that must be in place for that. So it's a rather long report, but even if you had a chance to read the summary portion of it and maybe just glance through it, I think it would give you some insight into where we're headed and what pieces need to be in place for that. So, as we move on into the next part of our agenda for group introductions, I want you, as you're introducing yourself, to tell your name, who you represent, where you're calling from, and if you were at the April 20th meeting, could you just share one inspiring idea that you took away from that meeting? If you were not at the April 20th meeting, could you please either share an idea that you have for this group to consider, or one that maybe you read on the summary sheet that was provided that we have already talked about, which inspires you or excites you? Let's start with I'm going to just kind of go through the picture list, and as I call on people, we'll go from the top down one time, and we'll go from the bottom up one time, so we won't have the same people going first or last. James, you were not at the meeting last time, but would you again just quickly reintroduce yourself and tell us maybe an idea that you would like to throw out for this committee to think about, or maybe one that you have already seen on our summary sheet that you're excited about exploring?
Thank you, Santa. Yeah, James Fields. I'm in Glen Allen, and I represent one, obviously, the State Board of Education, but also I have one, two, three, four kids in the school system here. I've one graduated already, so five will be through, and I've got a couple more coming up, or one more coming up. So that's what I represent. I posted or attached an article there, Relax, Heal, and Learn, on SmartSheet for you guys to review, and it goes over some of the same things in trauma-informed practices. Some of it's education, basically having teachers educate elementary kids, especially on how the brain works, and maybe would help kids understand, you know, why they're acting the way they're acting or why they're reacting the way they're reacting. And so I'd encourage you to just kind of peruse that article that's posted. It's, like I said, it's called Relax, Heal, Learn, and it's on number 21. So anyway, again, glad to be on this committee. It's very important, and hopefully we can make some transformational change. Thank you.
Thanks, James. I'm going to also, as we're each listening to each member's idea or thought, let's all listen. Maybe you want to take a quick note and think about, are we hearing patterns? Are we hearing any consensus on anything as we work through this and listen to each other? Dr. Hamilton, would you please go next and introduce yourself?
Yeah, thank you. I apologize. I couldn't get my phone to come off of mute, and I was listening to you guys calling my name, and I wasn't answering, but I could hear you fine. So I am back on now, both voice and listening. So I do live in Soldotna, Alaska, the place where the best fish in the state are caught. And all of our friends are coming down here to see us, it looks like, this summer to make that happen. I serve as a member of the State Board of Education. I'm also a commissioner with the Alaska Commission on Post-Secondary Education. And I have been on the board now for, I think, 2.5 years. And I also serve my daytime job as I'm the president of Alaska Christian College here in Soldotna, which reaches Alaska Native young people with higher education through accredited university status. So it's a great honor to work with people in the K-12 system as they matriculate up through and join us at the college system. The one thing that I would say from last meeting that was apparent to me as we are whittling down our main categories is once an idea starts to gel and form, it becomes either really clear that it's an obvious piece we need to look at, or it kind of washes itself away. I have to give it some time. And this whole issue of school attendance doesn't seem to wash away. It seems to kind of be hitting me from different sides and different angles. I still am excited to see us press forward on helping this chronic absenteeism. I believe we're rated second from the bottom in the United States, and to address that wholeheartedly. So that just has just grown and grown since we've been together. So thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Hamilton. Did Ishmael join us? How about, okay, Leona, I believe you're with us today. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Leona Starr. I'm a parent with the Yukon-Koyukuk School District. I'm calling in from Huslia today, and I was not able to attend the April 20th meeting. My daughter was sick, so I wasn't able to make it. And I'm sorry, I don't know what question you were referring to with the last one or what sheet you were talking about. So,
Leona, if you happen to, and we can, that's fine, we'll continue the conversation and you'll get an idea of the categories because we're going to go into those specifically. But if you, did you receive the email that I sent on Thursday by chance?
Yes, I have that and have it all in front of me, but I just don't know what sheet you were.
Yeah, well, there were actually four different categories. One was titled attendance, one is trauma-informed practices, school climate, and school health or student health.
Student health, yes.
And those ideas that were listed under each of those, as you have a chance to think, we're going to have during our break, we're going to look at those specifically, so you'll have some time to look at those. But we welcome you. We're excited to have our parents on our committee for your voice. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Jennifer Jones, I believe you're next. Hi, Jennifer. Maybe you're on mute.
Yes, I was. Thanks. So Jennifer Hall Jones, I'm a parent. I live in Anchorage, and I have two children that have just graduated from the Anchorage School District. The piece that I attended the meeting on the 20th. The part that I came away feeling not quite as optimistic as many. I felt like our task is huge. I guess I felt a little bit overwhelmed by all the different areas. And for me, what felt and especially after I wasn't able to get through all of that entire Covey article, the article that Dr. Covey sent, but it felt like if we could focus on one of the areas, and the one that felt that spoke to me was the trauma-informed practice because it was very specific, and so that would be my take on what happened in earlier, and I'm excited about it because it's a recognized phenomena that we can that we understand in terms of first there's the awareness and the sensitivity, and then we can move on to actual practice, and so there's a progression, and I think that each of our communities is in a different place with that. And going back to the article that Covey, the McKenzie report, what struck me is that, like, for instance, in one of the gradations from great to good or good to great, I can't remember exactly what it was called, but the idea of, say, instructional coaches was talked about, and I know that's something that is happening in the Anchorage School District, but I don't know that that's going to be available to other school districts across the state. So I think that where that each of the different districts is in a really different place, if you look at the sort of the scope of where we are in Alaska. So anyway, I'm looking forward to working on the committee, and I'm excited.
Thank you, Jennifer. And yes, I think we all feel that overwhelming weight on our shoulders, because this is very important work, and it will make such a difference for the achievement gap, especially for some of our lower students. So I appreciate your comments. Jane, I think you are here for Senator Giesel. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, good morning. My name is Jane Conway. I'm Chief of Staff for Senator Kathy Giesel. Was just informed last night that I would be jumping in on this meeting. So, of course, I don't have the documents and have no reference to the April 20th meeting. However, I will just listen and absorb like I normally do, and I'm sitting here typing notes as we go along to get back with Senator Giesel. Thank you.
Thank you, Jane. We appreciate you being here, and we will – I think I have another staff person's name for Senator Giesel that I was sending information to, but we will add you and get yours so we can include you.
Yes, you probably were sending to Kari Noor. Did you send her the documents that you were all referring to from last week?
Let me look on my list here for...
If so, I can email her and have her forward them to me.
I don't have in front of me who the staff member was. We'll check.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, Representative Tallarico, would you please introduce yourself?
Sure. Thank you very much. My name is Dave Tallarico, and I'm the representative for House District 6, which goes from Cantwell out to Tanana on the Yukon River, up to Arctic Village, over to the Canadian border, all the way down to beyond Northway Border City, down to Kenny Lake. And so it's a giant horseshoe of the eastern part of Alaska, which actually touches about 7 different school districts. So I definitely have a personal interest in anything that happens with our education system, for sure, because we've got some very unique communities out there, and all of our school districts are a little bit different. But thank goodness so we have some that are very high performing and very successful. So I appreciate the opportunity to be here this morning. And I was incredibly interested in particularly the safety aspect, because my professional background prior to being in the legislature involved a safety. And safety is kind of a priority for me. And I do appreciate the fact that I got a lot of good previous experience serving as a Denali Borough mayor for a number of years and working directly with the Denali Borough School District. Unfortunately, I was not available at the April 20th meeting, but I've got all of the paperwork and information. I'm looking forward to staying engaged.
Thank you very much. We are very glad you're able to be with us today. Next, Pete, would you please introduce yourself and share an idea you were excited about?
Certainly. Yes, my name is Pete Hefner. Currently, I'm the president of the Alaska Association of School Boards. I'm a school board member here in where I'm at right now in Cordova, where I believe we've got the best salmon in the state of Alaska. And I also sit on the our Cordova Family Resources Board of Directors, as well as the Pathways to Prevention, a statewide steering committee. What really I really enjoyed hearing was about the trauma-informed schools and how that relates to, from everything to discipline, attendance, and student not learning or hindering or barriers to learning, and also using social-emotional learning skills. Also, though, the transformational change, you know, it's a big one, and it's, you know, something brand new, and it is a tough concept just to wrap your whole head around something entirely brand new. But I do think the moving towards trauma-informed schools, teachers realizing children come to school with certain baggage relating to the whole child, and that will get us someplace, I believe.
Thank you very much, Pete, for that. Next, Norma, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Norma. Good morning. Would you please introduce yourself?
My name is Norma Holmgart, and I'm the superintendent for Kashutum Youth School District in Chivac. And, of course, I'm here representing Western Alaska and our village schools and what's happening within our schools. And I, we've done actually quite a bit of training on trauma-informed schools. I was happy that people were talking about that, but I believe that our issues go much deeper than that. And so I'm excited that this committee is willing to talk about a bigger picture and how our schools are microcosms of our communities. And so our discussions not only include our students, but include the parents and extended families of them. So I'm looking forward to a much deeper discussion.
Thank you, Norma. Laura, would you please introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Laura Mulgrew. I live in Juneau, Alaska. I am a special education teacher for the Juneau School District. I was actually asked on behalf of NEA, the National Education Association, to participate in this committee. I'm a parent of four children in the public school setting. I've been a foster parent. I am a adopted parent as well as a child by birth. And so, and I currently work with a, my special education program, I work with children with emotional disturbance, behavior disorders, mental health disabilities on behalf of the school district and design educational programs for them as well. So, so I'm calling from Juneau. And, you know, at our meeting in April, I was very excited. I have been working with trauma information since, so about 10 years ago, due to the work I did as a therapeutic foster home, as well as the outcome of what happens with trauma attachment, mental health disabilities, and so forth. So I was really excited that we're looking, the state of Alaska is really looking into trauma-informed information. I believe I walked away from the committee feeling hopeful but overwhelmed in April, feeling like this is a large task in a short period of time. And so I look forward to continuing the work. I think school climate and attendance and student health all plays into trauma. Trauma plays into all of those. And so I think you had asked what was my inspiring idea. My inspiring idea that when I walked away in April was that this is all encumbersome of each other. And so as a team, hopefully, and as a group, we can find something that's going to work for all the students in the state of Alaska.
Thank you, Laura. Did Commissioner Monaghan join us or anyone from public safety?
Good morning. This is Walt Monaghan.
Hi. How are you, Commissioner? Thank you for being here.
Well, I appreciate it, and I'm sorry I missed the April one. I had conflicts being down in Juneau. So, but I did get the booklet, and I got a briefing from my substitute who attended. And let me tell you where I'm at, and just a little bit about me, I guess. My name is Walt Monaghan. I'm with the Public Safety. And I'm calling from Anchorage at the moment. A little background is that I'm a student of the state-operated school systems here in Alaska, out in western Alaska. We had a one-room schoolhouse out at Nyack. Then I attended middle school and high school in the Seattle area. I served about 34 years with the Anchorage Police Department and another year after I retired with the Anchorage School District in its Title VII program. And the point of being a cop and whatnot is that I had the many, many times got to see the outcome of basically, I think, what is the system's weak spots, failures, if you will, in our way we do our education processes. Once I heard about ACEs and success stories like Lincoln High School in Walla Walla with the trauma-informed care, everything kind of fell in place for me. And so I think that speaking from a health and public safety perspective, what this is going to do is, my belief is that the only way we're going to really turn this around is it has to be comprehensive, it has to be collaborative, and it's going to take we need to address the entire learning environment from training teachers to altering some of the specific curriculums in certain areas at age-appropriate levels. It really does go back to that, and it was probably used in April, but it does take a village to raise a child. And so I'm excited. I want to see something productive out of this. I spent a career in chasing problems. I'd just as soon if we can do something that can actually prevent them, and that's why I volunteered.
Thank you so much. We are glad you're with us today. Commissioner Williams, please introduce yourself.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Dean Williams. I'm the Commissioner of the Department of Corrections. Some of you know that I spent a good portion of my career in juvenile corrections and worked the last few years of my career to develop an expulsion suspension school, the first school designated of its kind in Anchorage. It took 2 years of that effort to get that school, and the subsequent years when the school was running led me down many different roads in terms of what other states have done and what and why the policies that we as a government make about some of these issues really matters. Part of the challenge for us is deciding what you can, having the wisdom, I guess it's a little bit of a serenity prayer of having the wisdom to know what you can change and what is not yours to change. And some of the things that will, I think it's easy to run down the rabbit trail of trying to fix everything and not doing much of anything versus trying to be strategic about what things you can change. So your response to the problems that you're facing with kids and who are coming to school who have trauma at home and have problems at home is not to make the situation worse. And I think a lot of the experience that I had back in the day and now running the irony of running the adult system is that I even know it even more profoundly that what we get right in terms of school safety it even has a more profound effect whether or not we help a situation or do we make it worse. Overreaction in school discipline issues, for example, we know from research makes issues profoundly worse. So everything I'm excited by the fact that we're really entertaining and we're going to say what does school discipline, what's that supposed to look like? When we're intervening with kids who are having problems at home, how do we approach that? And do we understand that the policy calls and what we set up in districts, what our expectations are of the teachers, has very many rippling effects? You know, expelling a kid from school is probably the most serious consequence you can have in a person's life and making that decision. And that's the reason why so many other states have moved to basically that you're not expelling any kid. you use them, move them to alternative schools or alternative environments, et cetera. But if a kid doesn't show up to school, it's their own decision. So you have to get very, very strategic about what you're doing. I know some of you have heard me go on, and I'll stop here in a minute. But so these policy calls about what we do and how we set the policy on guidance for school districts. Is it okay to suspend a kid for 3 days, for example, for talking back to a teacher? Well, we don't want that kid talking back to a teacher, but we don't know what happened at home that morning with that kid, and being smart about how we're intervening really matters in terms of the whole safety, not just that student, but of the older students, and the research on this is pretty solid. So for me, it's really honing in on what we're going to do in a strategic way of addressing school discipline. And so, and this is a great, this is the first forum I've seen that where we're going to say, what is the one thing we can do? Well, improving school safety for me really is about really having very smart policies that don't exacerbate what is already tough in a situation when a student shows up who's out of it and is in trauma themselves. What do we do about it and how we handle them? So developing policies and training and how we guide, how we help the districts get there is super important, just not for their district, but for everything else, the entire justice system. So I'm excited to be on here, and I appreciate everyone's contribution so far. Thanks.
Thank you, Commissioner. Mary McMahon.
Sorry, I was on mute. I'm listening to what everyone's saying, and one thing that, first of all, my name's Mary McMahon. I'm the principal in the Mount Sue Borough School District. I've been a principal here for 12 years, currently at Colony Middle School for the last 10. And I also serve as the president of the Alaska Council of School Administrators and the president of the Alaska Association of Secondary School Principals. And when we met, I was most taken by the fact that we had such a diverse group, a diverse and strong group of committee members that are really passionate about this work. And to me, if we're going to really transform anything in education, we have to have people who are serving on creating the change and making the change that are passionate about what we're doing and have a heart, a deep commitment to it. So I was excited to see that we have the right people on the committee. I feel like you're an amazing facilitator, Santa. I like how you break it down and just tell us exactly how it needs to go. I'm looking forward to sharing information and learning about what's happening in all of these categories, but the one that really jumps out at me at the moment is school climate, because I've been working really, I've created some transformational change within the school I'm working at this last year when it comes to school climate, and so I'd love to share that at some point with the group. But also the trauma-informed practices. We're just starting to get involved in that. We had John Hendershot from Hope for the Wounded trauma-informed practice come up last year, and he made a big difference in how we looked at how we work with our kids and just the numbers that are out there, and all the information is important for us to have. And then the training to be able to meet the needs of the kids that we're serving and the communities that we're serving. So I look forward to working with all of you, and I'm just and that's about it. But one last thing is, I do love the way you pulled the information from our last meeting together on these documents so that we can review them and see where we're at, and it shows that we had a very productive first meeting in person.
Thank you, Mary. I'm going to give kudos to Todd for that. He took those notes, pulled it together, and, you know, we wanted to synthesize it in a way that, like you said, we can move forward and weed out some things and start focusing. So thank you. Sarah, you're next. Would you please introduce yourself?
Yes, thank you. My name is Sarah Sledge. I'm the Executive Director for the Coalition for Education Equity. And that is a statewide education advocacy organization that's mostly comprised of school districts across the state, ranging from single-site city districts to rural districts in the villages off the road system, and borough and urban school districts. So we run the gamut.
I am. I live in Anchorage. I'm currently calling from the East Coast. And I'm going to echo a lot of the things that you've already heard from other people. I'll echo what Jennifer mentioned, just feeling overwhelmed by the number of topics that we surfaced in our discussion at the April 20th meeting. But I think Laura said it, and as well as a few others, that there are definitely areas that I see where we can tie these ideas together. Especially I'm excited about the trauma-informed practices and thinking about restorative justice and restorative discipline with our kids, and building, focusing on how we build positive school climates, develop social emotional skills for our kids so that we're developing good citizens that can have constructive ways of dealing with the things in their lives. And they're attending school that feels safe for them to thrive in. I'm a former fifth grade school teacher and grade level chair, and then I did some work in Anchorage through United Way, collaborative community work focused on student outcomes through Anchorage United for Youth and then the 90% by 2020 initiative. And we focused a lot on protective factors and how those protective factors reduce risk behaviors in our kids, especially depression, suicide, drug and alcohol abuse, violence in schools. And we have a few reports that I have access to that I would be happy to share on the SmartSheets document after our call. But we've definitely done some work around protective factors. And also the Anchorage Collaborative Coalition has done some work on bullying and consequences of that, and also the best ways to deal with that. And I'll share that as well. The last thing I'll say is, well, that's Anchorage specific. I definitely want us to keep in mind how what we talk about has to be able to address what's happening in both our urban school districts, but also our smaller village districts, because they're not always dealing with the same things. So I just want to make sure we keep that in mind. And thanks so much.
Thank you, Sarah. Yes, thank you again for echoing that as part of the transformational change. It has to be system-wide. Urban, rural, alike has to be able to be implemented. So thank you. And we've got Maureen here with us in Juneau. So we're going to let her introduce herself.
Okay, yes. My name is Maureen Hall, and I'm a school nurse here in Juneau serving Thunder Mountain High School and Mendenhall River Elementary. So kids from the integrated preschool all the way up through the transitional living program for our kids with disabilities after high school. I've been a nurse for 12 years, and we school nurses, I represent myself as a school nurse, but also the broader Alaska School Nurse Association. We have nurses all over our state, from Barrow to Kodiak and Aleutian Islands. I'm all in for trauma-informed practices. We nurses are. We pay very close attention to both the mental and physical health of our students, and realize, you know, we work within our school communities, the broader medical communities, our referring agencies, as well, most importantly, we work with our families. When kids only spend 15% of their time in school, it's imperative that whatever we do here, we broaden our scope to include not just our school community, but the community at large. And so it's very exciting to hear law enforcement talking about how they are excited about preventing trauma in the first place. So, and I feel like focusing in on trauma-informed practices will improve everything else we're looking at, including attendance and the school climate. Thank you. I'm also a mother and a grandmother, and my kids graduated from the Alaska School public schools, four of them, and then also two of them from our university system, and little grandchildren now about to enter our public schools.
Thank you, Maureen. And next, Jeff Lansing, please introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Jeff Lansing, and I've been the principal of Delta Junior High School in Delta Junction for the last 7 years. I'm a former play therapist and a former licensed professional counselor. I have a 9-year-old son. He's in the third grade. We're currently busy playing baseball. To me, some interesting things about the April meeting. I thought it was a good start. I think it's difficult to think of real transformative ideas. I realized, came away from the meeting, that we are a huge state and we have a wide variety of needs across the state. For me, one of the main issues is attendance, and I think it's the key to success for kids. If they're not in school, they're going to really struggle to reach their full potential. So some things I'm interested in, I have questions why we struggle with attendance as a society in general. I think that's real interesting. I'm also interested in how to design a school which really understands issues around trauma. I don't necessarily agree that if you fix trauma practices that it will necessarily improve attendance. I'm not sure. I think they go hand in hand, but I think the attendance issues go a lot deeper than just trauma. That's all I have.
Thank you, Jeff. And next, Lillian Bannerman, would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Lillian Bannerman. I'm calling from Juneau. And I'm a part of this committee representing the student perspective, specifically here in Juneau where I go to Thunder Mountain High School. What I got away from our April 20th meeting, what really stuck with me was the attention to mental health issues, because sometimes as a teenager you feel as though adults typically push that away and say, oh, it's a phase, or maybe she's just having a bad day. But hearing all the adults in this committee really acknowledge that mental health issues are a huge issue in schools, it was really nice to hear. And it was really nice to hear that it wasn't something that was being pushed to the side, and it's something that we're really bringing up in this committee, and we're really focusing on that throughout all four of the little sections that we created that we want to make transformational changes in. So that's what I really took away from our April 20th meeting. And like many have already said, I'm really looking forward to working with everyone in the committee more.
Thanks, Lillian. We appreciate that perspective. And I'm going to have Todd introduce himself.
Good morning. My name is Todd Brocious. I'm an education administrator here with the department. I've been here at the department 17 years and been involved in school health and safety all of that time. And I just wanted to say I'm assigned staff to support the work of the committee, and I'm absolutely thrilled to be here and to be able to fulfill that role. I was overjoyed when I learned that school safety and well-being would be elevated to such a prominent place within the education challenge. I think it is assuming its rightful place in the discourse, and I firmly believe that safety and well-being are an absolute priority for learning. So thank you.
Thanks, Todd. I'm glad you're my support staff for this, because you certainly have the program knowledge and background. I want to, again, acknowledge and recognize the expertise that we have on this committee, and I want to make sure that everyone understands your voice is important. Every perspective that's represented has something to add and share with this committee that will help us get and hone down those transformational ideas. We're going to take a break. We're going to take a 10-minute break, but this is going to be a working break. I mean, get your coffee or your water or whatever else you need to do. But also, during this break time, I want you to reflect on what you just heard from the committee members and thinking about the four areas that we identified, attendance, trauma-informed practices, school climate, and student health and safety, and determine, we're going to come back and we're going to start having conversations specifically on each of those categories and the ideas that were generated under those to see, are those truly the categories? We may whittle them down some more. So you're thinking about, are these the right categories? Have we left something out? Are we going to be able to settle on these? Because we're going to vote at some point in time here in the next, through our next round of conversations. So look through the categories. And again, think about, are we missing anything, or can we hone these down again to another level? Another thing I would like to remind you of, our charge is to identify what can be transformational out of this and not the how we're going to actually implement that. So think on that level about what idea that's listed here is a transformational idea or that we could craft into a transformational idea, not how we're going to do that. That will be then left up to the implementation of that idea if the recommendation moves forward. So again, we are about a few minutes. Let's say we will come back at 10:07, somewhere between, 10:05 and 10:07 or 8. Any questions before we go? And again, let me remind you, do not hang up. Just put your phone on mute.
Sano, this is Jennifer. I have a question. Is somebody taking notes or something? Because we sort of assumed that was going to happen last time. I'm not sure who's doing that.
Yes, we do. That's what Todd's here, staff, and Aaron's here taking notes. And again, we will summarize that and put those out again on Smartsheet.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, anything else? All right, again, 10-minute break. Thank you. All right, we're back. I'll give everybody just a second to join us again. And again, please mute your phones if you are not speaking to cut down on any echo. As we get started again from break, I am going to ask Jerry Covey. Jerry, if you would like to share anything or provide the committee with anything before we get started again.
Thank you, Santa. No, I think the committee is off to a tremendous start. I appreciate everything I've heard, and I'm excited to see you continue. Thank you.
Thanks, Jerry. Of course, anytime, you are welcome to jump in and steer us anyway that we need help. So thank you for being there. So before we get started on our discussion of our first category that we're going to talk about is attendance, I also wanted to acknowledge and share the ideas. If you remember at the April 20th meeting, we started with quite a few categories and whittled them down, and then we talked about taking a couple of those categories and sending them off to other committees for their consideration. So I want to make sure that we kind of remember what those ideas and categories were. Todd's going to share that information with us. We have passed it along to the other committees, as he'll share with you. They may or may not consider this, but I think it will give them some other information to inform their committee work. Maybe it will either have some validation on the categories or the work that they're doing, or maybe they've already settled on theirs. But Todd's going to share what we ended up passing along to the other committees.
Thank you. So when we ended our April 20th meeting, in addition to the attendance, the trauma-informed practices, school climate, and student health categories, we had two more. We ended with career and life skills and also with community parent involvement. And there were some really great transformational ideas under each of those two categories. The career and life skills category had some great stuff, including after school and summer programs to develop life skills that would include health and safety practices, and an expansion of career technical education offerings to instill hope and skill confidence in students. And at the recommendation of our committee, those ideas were advanced, were forwarded to the Tribal and Community Ownership Committee for consideration. It's really unclear on how they'll utilize those, but we know they're in good hands and they'll be part of the discussion. Under the community parent involvement category, they're great ideas, really about significantly expanding parent involvement to help with school safety, about infusing the requirements for volunteer hours within the school setting for all families that have students enrolled in public education. Ideas around expanding the involvement of faith communities within schools. And those great ideas were also advanced. They were forwarded to the Student Learning Committee for consideration. So thank you for those. And on the flip side of that, we don't know if we will be receiving recommendations from the other committees who similarly went through a process and really at the end of it realized that they had ideas that would be better suited for safety and well-being. So thank you.
Yeah, and if we do, we will share those ideas with you to then make a determination if there's something that we want to add or consider during our discussion. So for the next portion of our discussion, I'd like for you to take out the sheet on attendance, the category attendance. It was labeled as category two, but we're going to discuss it first today as we go through our next, through the four categories. So attendance was one of the categories that we talked about, and as a committee on the 20th, we went back and forth, and we almost eliminated it as one of the categories, but then when we went around and had a vote, we had enough votes to keep it, to still have some conversation around attendance, and if that is something that we think could be transformational within our system. So I want you to think, I'm going to pose a question for each of us to think about. Do we think attendance needs to be kept as a category, or is attendance really a symptom of another problem which could be addressed in a transformational way through the other categories that we still have remaining? And for this, I think I'm going to start out, I know Dr. Hamilton was a real advocate because of all the, we know our statistics in the state around chronic absenteeism. They're not good, and we all agree that children need to be in school. But I'd like to see if Dr. Hamilton would like to talk a little bit about this category and his thoughts. And then Jeff Lansing. Jeff, I know this was very important to you also, so I wanted to give you a minute. So Dr. Hamilton, if you would speak first. And then Jeff, and then if anyone else would like to talk a little bit about this category, and then I think we can vote whether to keep it or not to move forward. So, Dr. Hamilton.
Yeah, thank you, Deputy Commissioner. Yeah, I come back to this theme. Again, as I mentioned earlier, it seems to pop up pretty frequently, but there really are three main reasons I think that we have to keep this at the front of our discussions. And the primary one is that if a student is at school all day, we know that they are safe. With information that we have, especially in more of our rural areas, kids who don't make it into school, they remain unsafe in some of those scenarios. We know that from 8 a.m. until 3 p.m.-ish, that a student who stays home all day and has nothing to do because they're left home because of chronic absenteeism, because of parental leadership got foul, whatever it might be, that student is likely going to be getting into trouble, going to be causing mischief and other issues related to that. I believe that there is a great correlation between a student in school and how safe that student is, at least for a third of their day. The second thing is that we provide, obviously, an education for that student to grow and to become all they can be as one of our state's school children. And we can't do that necessarily if they're sitting at home playing video games or watching TV shows all day in their house. We want every student every day to get an excellent education that happens in the classroom, not at home on the boot tube. And so every student that misses a day of school is just declining their opportunity to be a fully functional part of our society, a citizen, an informed, educated citizen. They need to be in our schools for the daytime, for more days, I think, than the days that we're now requiring in our state, by the way. And then third, you know, we do a lot of other amazing things in the schools that no one ever hears about, that we take care of children that have had trauma. They're able to offer them services, even food that they're not getting fed. Certain parts of Anchorage or out in the villages, I know that the food service program that we offer is extremely helpful for them, not just to have a better fed mind so they can do better in their classes, but just being fed, period, instead of wondering where their next meal is going to come from. We offer counseling. We offer health opportunities to our health nurses when that's available. So the student gets a lot of accessory support that comes through the school system beyond the seat time that they're offered. So a student is chronically absent is going to be unsafe in some areas. They're not going to be educated, obviously, because they're not with us. And they're not going to receive all the extra services that are available to them. So if you want to compare a child who sits like I did many moons ago in a classroom 180 days a year, did not hardly ever miss school, and where myself and my classmates have ended up today versus the chronic absenteeism that we might see in Alaska where there are weeks of absences and where that student is going to end up, there's a vast difference. And if we don't make a strong case for doing all that we can do to get every student every day in every classroom, we are actually, I think, debilitating that child, because we're not doing all that we can to keep them and get them there. So I'm a strong advocate for this. I've spoken to at least the Kenai Peninsula District, Ryan, to each one of our secondary principals, and they say this is the number one issue that they're fighting with. Of course, drugs and alcohol are on top of that. But I think a lot of that comes from the students not also being in school. So it seems to point back to being in school is the number one way for us to help a young child become all that they can be as they live in our state. So that's my three-point sermon for today.
Thank you, Dr. Hamilton. Jeff, would you like to add some information from your perspective?
Well, I agree with everything Dr. Hamilton just mentioned, and from a principal perspective, and you know, I kind of live in a unique community. I know every kid that's in the school really well. I don't think there are some trauma-induced children that are in our school. Don't get me wrong, but I think the vast majority of attendance issues we have come down to parents and whether or not they see school as a value, they see school as a priority, and whether or not they value education. So I have kids who, you know, they've missed 30, 40, 50 days of school, and one, you can't get a parent to call in, you can't get a parent to come in for a visit. That's really difficult sometimes. I had a meeting the other day with somebody who had missed 40 days. They did come in, and the dad finally just said, well, we're just going to go homeschool. Well, that's fine. You can do that. That's your choice. However, if you come back, I just want to let you know that if this child continues to fail, I will not, advance them to the next grade. They're way behind. And his response was, well, you know what? I need to go talk to my child and see if she wants to go homeschool or not. We have this whole group of parents who have abdicated their responsibility as parents to make these tough decisions. They need to be in school every day. And so those are the things we face, and I don't have the exact answer. All I know is sometimes, when I finally said, look, you need to be the parent. You need to make this decision. Why are you asking your child? It's like, really? So these are the things we face on the ground every day. And, unless there's some teeth in our attendance laws, or I like the idea of the whole PFD, giving the PFD to parents when they come to school, I don't know. We're at that's why I said we need to examine some of these things as a society, see why they're not coming to school. In our community, Fridays are an exodus. They take off for Fairbanks to go shopping. And, we seriously examined the four-day week in our district. It was contentious. It was narrowly defeated. But that was really where we were headed because our attendance is abysmal on Fridays. So, again, I don't think it's a trauma-induced thing. I think it's a societal thing across all our schools.
Thanks, Jeff. I'm going to have, I think Maureen here in Juneau wants to talk also about attendance and absenteeism.
And I recognize that within each community it might look a little different. At the high school level, I sit on a student assistant team, and the kids that are brought to the attention of that team are kids with high absenteeism, failing their classes. And we take a look at what's going on with them, and I can tell you that group that we're most concerned about are kids from really traumatic backgrounds. There may be only a single parent in the household. There may be no parent at all. They may be in the foster care system. They may be raised by a disabled grandma that doesn't have transportation. They may be dependent on a parent to drive them to school that doesn't get them there on time. But again, all of this I see related to the incredibly traumatic lives that they lead. We do not see high-achieving kids in that group at all, the kids with safe, supportive home environments. So I think it is a symptom of what's going on in their lives and that we need to address it as such. And I think addressing the trauma piece will help with the attendance, although I do recognize living, like Jeff said, in a community where everyone takes off and goes to Fairbanks shopping, it does sound like you have some unique challenges in your school community with parents not prioritizing education. Thank you.
Thanks, Maureen. And Jeff, I think you're correct, Jeff, in what you said. That that almost sounds like the tribal and community involvement committee could help, or a community issue or something that might be discussed in that committee also, or some way to address it through some community efforts also. Would anyone else like to speak to whether... Yes, go ahead.
This is Norma, and everyone here is, of course, making great comments and great points. It's important to remember, however, that at least according to the research that I have taken a look at over the last 12 years, that student attending behaviors are pretty much solidified by the end of the second grade year. And so if prevention is what we're about, we really need to spend a lot of time with our preschoolers and our kindergartner parents and talking with them about parenting. The talk to the kids about coming to school out here in rural Alaska, I find often that parents do wake their kids up, but the kids don't want to get up, and they are not about confrontation or arguing, fighting about it. They did their job by waking them up, and so we have to help parents learn better parenting behaviors. But it is important. Having worked in the Kenai School District for 16 years and out here in rural Alaska for 10, truly there are issues. By the time kids get to high school, it's not about the parents anymore. And those attending behaviors, I'm sure you can all look back and see that they had poor attendance when they were in kindergarten and first grade and second grade, and by then it's a fight. And so that's where the greater community comes in and teaching those parenting skills right away at the beginning. And so I think I'm all about prevention, of course. And having worked with attendance in many schools, different sizes all over the state, we find that our approach to attendance is either rewards, which doesn't work, never did, or negative reinforcement. That didn't work either. And so on the back end of poor attendance behaviors, we don't usually get much bang for the buck. But on the front end, in the preventative side, is really where it's going to change. And we may not be able to change student behaviors in upper elementary and middle school and high school, but we can start changing those early on behaviors so that we don't get in this situation. So that's the world according to Norma.
Hi, this is Jeff Lansing again. Can I mention something Norma just said?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, I had a unique experience that I was a counselor at the elementary school before I was a principal, and so the kids I have now as eighth graders I had back in K-1-2, and I think Norma is exactly right. The kids that had attendance issues in K-1-2 are the same kids I have attendance issues now in 6-7-8. So I would agree wholeheartedly that that would be where an effort needs to be put.
This is Jennifer. I have a question for you, Norma. I mean, we talked about the idea of asking for parents to have sort of mandatory volunteering. Do you think that would be, given the cultural things that you're describing, do you think that might be useful for, you know, the K-3 kind of, the early primary grade for the parents of those children?
You know, I just don't have all the answers. My gut feeling is that we often don't have meaningful things for our volunteers to do, and therefore they don't see what if what we're asking parents to do is truly meaningful, that would be awesome. Or even just that morning activity when you bring your child to school, we're going to have you sit down, have some juice and breakfast with them, and then we're going to have a 30-minute conversation with parents with their children, and we're going to do an activity, a let's wake up activity, and those types of things. I think parents would come for that. I think what I have seen in out here in Western Alaska is parents want to do right by their children, but they don't always know how. At the end of the day, we've done home literacy activities. So mom or dad come in and they end the day with their child and they take them home and they do that activity again. And so parents do want to learn. I don't know about the volunteering for the sake of volunteering, I think parents, our parents come when there's information they need or there's something that's targeted to them. We've also, through at least myself, I've been in education 37 years now, and I have learned that the one thing to get parents to come to a parent meeting is by telling them that no other parents can come because they think there's something special that they're going to learn that nobody else gets to know, and they will be there. And so if you did a targeted parent meeting just for first grade parents, only first grade parents at this one, they will be there. They will say, whoa, wait a second, there's something about a first grader that doesn't apply anywhere else. And so, you know, there's little tricks of persuasion. I'm not sure, Jennifer, the volunteer thing would work unless it is specified that today folks are going to do whatever. I know that there are a lot of pre-K programs, a lot of Head Start programs that do require the parent to volunteer a certain number of hours, but I'm not convinced that the volunteering is always meaningful engagement with children.
Yeah. This is Walt. Can I have a moment?
Commissioner, please, go ahead.
Okay. A couple of years ago, I had the opportunity to go down to Togiak. And when we were touring the school out there, one of the things that really struck me is that they had a program of which they were battling attendance like a lot of schools do. But what they were doing is that based on cooperation of all the teachers, is that they would reach out to the students and the students' parents and even swing by sometimes and just talk to them after school hours. What they ended up doing is developing a kind of a personal approach to each individual that was missing a lot of school. And they were supportive, they were understanding, they showed care and compassion and not judgmental. And they ended up doing flexible assignments in the to help these students continue with the class, even though they may not be there the entire day. I mean, the give back was that the kids would at least show up for a couple of hours during the day. And what they've been doing this for a couple of years, and it basically half the graduating class every year was recovered kids that had already dropped out, but been encouraged to continue to participate. So if Togiak is still doing that, please reach out to them and find out if this is still a success thing and it's not just a personality or a kind of a Don Quixote kind of issue. But I have one other thing that I would like to toss out for the discussion as well, is that normally when we get into the higher areas and start to go middle school and into high school, we have a tendency, obviously, to focus on academics, and we do bring in book ed kind of situations. But one of the things that I thought we don't do well is that if you were a student kind of thinking, well, I'm not going to go to college, I really don't know what to do, and you're going to the counselor gives you this big three-week binder and says, look through it and see what looks interesting to you. That effort could be improved. If the schools, for example, reached out to all the trade unions and say that maybe three or four, once a quarter, had a kind of a job fair day, and they could set up different booths and talk to, if you want to be a pilot, or if you want to be a mechanic, or a bulldozer operator, or an electrician, there would be those kind of entities showing up at the schools that kids can actually sit down and kind of peruse all day through and talk to these guys and gals and find out what's interesting and get a lot more than they can get out of just a three-ring binder. And these tradescrafts are hurting for individuals to fill their ranks on everyone. So it's a win-win scenario. It gets more community participation and shows, again, interest in the students themselves, which always is a win. So I just wanted to toss that out, too. Thanks.
Santa, this is James. James, can I speak?
Yes, go ahead, James.
I was just going to say I believe attendance is very important, but when I look at the four categories, that we have here. Attendance seems to be very specific, where the other three are larger ideas. So getting back to whether or not this it should be its own category, it could be the tribal and community, as you brought up. It obviously could be in school climate. It could be in all of them. So I would like to try to get down to three and move attendance. Again, it is a priority. It is something we need to address as a state, but I don't know if I would put it as its own category. Thank you.
Yeah. Sana, this is Dean.
Yes, Commissioner, go ahead.
Yeah, so we're talking a lot about the how issues right now in terms of you know, wrestling with what the approach would be. I guess I'd make the following observation. There are a number of different strategies and efforts around the nation, even internationally, about how you start to address truancy. Not having kids in school and not bending the curve on truancy issues in this state seems to be a profound one. I think part of the frustration is, what do we do about it? And I think that's part of the struggle, and I get that. But all the other things that we're talking about in terms of trauma-informed care, how truancy plays into expulsion and suspension issues. When kids are truant, what does the school do? I mean, it wasn't that long ago, the Anchorage School District was suspending kids for truancy. And I had big battles 12, 15 years ago when I was trying to develop the school that we had about these policy calls and whether or not you're exacerbating truancy. And in some cases, there are some kids we'll never, maybe never reach. But there are truancy strategies around the nation, and they've different approaches for different sizes of the communities. In larger communities, there have been retired judges or courts that get involved. In other times, it's more peers or mentoring or support things. Or some of the things are one of the examples like the Walsh just spoke of. And so some of those efforts to reduce truancies in certain pockets seems to me to be pretty key. Versus saying, well, it's a problem, but is it a big enough problem that we can make a transforming policy call on it? I think we can, and here's why, is that if there may be aspects of truancy you'll never eliminate, but having the right policies, the same way I keep going back to, what's the transformational thing about trauma-informed care? What does trauma-informed care mean? It means you respond to the crisis so you don't make it worse. You have informed. I think we could talk about trauma-informed care, but as a concept, but philosophically, it has to lead you somewhere. You have to say, here's a transformational policy call. We're not going to kick kids out of school, for example, for minor misconduct issues or other things like that. Or, in fact, here's what schools should be doing in regards to truancy. The school should address these one, two, or three things. Is there a support network? Is there a mentorship? Is there a policy in place that says, here's what we're going to do when a kid hits 10 days of truancy? And that could be very different from different communities. But I don't know how. I mean, truancy has a big impact on the overall health of the school and or any environment. So I guess I go back to, I don't know how you could address some of the safety issues and the well-being of the school without addressing the truancy. That doesn't mean you win on it every occasion, but there should be some protocols or policies in place that say, here's a resource. And there's plenty of resources out there about intervention strategies. And I agree, prevention is the best one, but you've got an eighth grader who's got missed 10 days in the first few months. What do? Do you ignore him? Do you kick him out? How do you intervene? It's tough stuff, and you may win with him, you may not. But anyway, I think it's a pretty big area in terms of the well-being and the safety of the school, because these things lead to other areas. These become disciplinary problems in the schools, and mm-hmm. now they're in the area where we're kicking them out because of behavior problems So for me, it's a pretty big area.
Thank you, Commissioner. So I do want to focus this back and think about attendance as keeping it as one of our categories. I'm going to ask you to look. We had three ideas that were under the attendance category. One was raise the school leaving age to 18. look at other research-based truancy approaches from other states and look at innovative ways to involve the community to help. And then in general, look at attendance and legislative action around compliance, looking at our current laws on attendance, and are we enforcing those? Do we think any of those are transformational ideas that we could work with?
Anna, this is Jerry. Could I speak, please?
Yes, Jerry, please.
Thank you. Raising those three issues that you just did, I think is very important. In the past, we have taken legislative proposals before the state legislature, looking at raising requirements, the enforcement side, having a bigger stick to deal with truancy, going after parents more. We have laws on the books now to go after parents, but what I keep thinking of when I listen to you, listen to everyone, is that the commissioner said in his remarks on April 20th, we can't legislate and we can't regulate our way into finding effective practices. Certainly, legislation and regulation are a part of that, but these are built on relationships. I mean, some kids don't go to school because school is boring. Some kids don't go to school because there's nothing there for them. There's a lot of other reasons that kids don't go to school other than their home. And so if we're going to look at policies, I think some of what Dean was sharing is critical to look and see what's happening policy-wise in other systems, because there are systems that have addressed this. And so I think if we can keep our focus on the policy issue and get into, you know, is this an area that is a standalone area? Is attendance big enough to stand by itself as one of the three? That's the first question. If not, where do we put it? And then as we move forward with it, what types of policy decisions can we make systemically that allow local districts, local teachers, and local principals enough latitude to do their work effectively? And so it's really a policy issue, and it's natural for us to talk about the how, but I think we have to get the what in the correct before we get into the how. Thank you.
Thanks, Jerry. And I think with those comments, I am going to ask, we're going to do a roll call of yes or no. Do we keep attendance as one of our categories to be considered for a transformational recommendation in the Safety and Well-Being Committee? James?
No.
Keith?
Yes.
Leona?
Yes.
Jennifer? Jennifer, are you on mute?
Sorry, no.
Thank you. Jane? Jane, are you still with us?
Sorry, I was on mute. I'm going to say no.
Representative Calrico?
Yes.
Pete?
No.
Norma?
No.
Lillian? Lillian, are you still on? Are you on mute?
No.
Thank you. Commissioner Monaghan?
Yes.
Commissioner Williams?
Yes.
Mary?
No.
Sarah?
No.
Maureen?
No.
Jeff?
Yes.
All right, did I leave anyone out? Oh, I'm sorry, Laura, did I skip you somehow?
Yes, Laura. And yes. Yes and yes.
Yes and yes. Sorry. Did I miss anyone else? All right, Todd.
9 no's and 7 yeses.
Oh, that's close. But our vote is to, I think, send it on there to, I think we will look at maybe a couple of committees to take that. It does not mean that with the context of our other categories that we could not or would not address that through a policy or transformational idea. All right. So next category we're going to talk and work through is labeled Category 1, Trauma-Informed Practices. And again, I want us to look what we're going to do for this. We have quite a few ideas that were generated under this category. And if you have the sheet that was provided with the added information by Todd, had included information, data that was asked for by the committee, some information there. So I'm going to let you take just maybe a few minutes to read through the ideas that were generated. And what I want to do is go one by one and see if we think each idea is either a transformational idea or something that we can craft a what transformational recommendation around, or that we want to gather more information on, and which things might be more conventional that we could just cross off. So we're continuing to narrow down the pieces under each category. So again, let's take maybe 3 minutes or so to look through this, and then we'll get back together and have an opportunity to discuss these. Any questions?
Santa, this is James.
Yes.
I want to ask the question, since we did, quote unquote, move attendance, that category, on to somewhere else potentially, where do people feel like, because it is important, so I want to make sure we hit the subject. Where do people feel as though attendance could go into the other three categories? And could anybody respond to that? Anybody who has any ideas? Because I don't want it to just get lost in something and not get, not get addressed.
Sam, this is Sarah. I'm glad you brought that up, James. Thank you. And I think I would like to see it moved potentially to student learning, because it has such an impact on student learning. So that would be my recommendation.
This is Santa, too. What I heard in a couple of the conversations around the hows, there were some ideas that actually I thought fit within our school climate category also. And I actually was going to ask, and I don't mean to put Mary on the spot, but if Mary maybe could talk about some of the initiatives that she had started at her school. I think one of the ideas that was generated that was actually talked about was having an adult assigned with each student to make a relationship, to be that accountability partner for them, and I think maybe Mary has done something around that.
Yeah, actually I was trying to jump in. I'm glad you put me on the spot. One of the things that we focused on heavily this year was peer and school climate based on how peers treat each other, and also making sure that every single student is connected to a meaningful adult. And those kids that were getting D's and F's, we looked at, the kids that we were not having success with, the kids that weren't involved in activities.
and we just and that we're having attendance issues, and our leadership team met, and we met with the students, and we came up with ways to connect them to school in a more meaningful way, but also to let them know that if they, regardless of what their home life is like, we want them in school. We notice when they're there, and we have meaningful adults that care about them in the school setting. And we've had a ton of success with focusing on school attendance with school climate and really tackling it from the relationship piece. I mean, it comes down to kids want to know they're cared about. They want to know that they're safe and happy and healthy in school, that we're creating an environment where they, when they walk in the doors, they want to be there. And so I did vote no on a school attendance only because, not because I don't think it's important. I think that we can be proactive and really put some things in place through these other categories that will create a higher school attendance option. And also, just in our school district alone, school choice is a big, is significant. And so parents have the option in the Mat-Su Rural School District more so than in rural Alaska. I worked in rural Alaska and out here, and so I know what people are facing. But here, parents just go homeschool their kids, and it's real easy to sign up for homeschool and then not do any school at all. And we've had some real big health and safety and well-being concerns around parents choosing just to homeschool but not really homeschooling. And so there's a lot there that we have to face and be aware of. And my feeling is that we have so much to do in schools with less funding, less staff, and times are really hard for us to make transformational change. So I would rather us focus on what we do have control over.
Thank you, Mary. Anybody else want to share where they think it might fit that we could craft a policy?
This is Pete Hefner. The school attendance, I voted against it, but it is one. The real question is asking why are students not attending? And a lot of it, I feel, would fall under either the trauma-informed practices finding out the reason why they're absent would be one of the things that I would like to address. With another group, it would be some parents are hesitant to even come into the school, language barriers, they don't feel they're adequate, to even come into the school building itself. Just a couple comments there.
Thank you.
This is Walt. Well, yep. I think it could be I voted to keep it separate, but otherwise it could be a component of both, I think, trauma-informed as well as the school climate. It should be brought up a couple of times, I think, because it is important. It's the foundation that everything else operates. If they're not there, we're not teaching. So I'd hit it in both areas.
Thank you. And just a comment for me, too. I think I see attendance as a measurement that we could put in place at some point to see if the policies, the transformational policy recommendations that come out of this, that a metric to measure some of those could be, do we see a decline in truancy at some point, but that's just a thought also. And I heard someone else, I think I interrupted.
No, I think we just tried to talk at the same time. This is Sarah again, and I think the question just got raised about why kids are not attending school, and so some of those reasons will be related to school climate and personal issues that kids are having or whether or not they feel safe in coming to school. So they'll get addressed in those other categories, hopefully. But I think knowing the why and the knowing how much are really important questions. It's one of the reasons I recommended putting it into student learning, transferring it to another committee, so that it's something that can be tracked. Tracking chronic absenteeism versus average number of missed days, just keeping track of
how many days our kids are missing per individual kid, and getting better data on why they're missing will give us information to move forward. So a policy recommendation could be that we as a state are tracking chronic absenteeism in all of our school districts, and we're getting the information that schools and school districts need in order to make decisions in their district, in their schools, in their communities. So we'd have better information to operate on.
This is Todd, and just to clarify, so through the Office of Civil Rights, all states do calculate on a district-by-district basis of chronic absenteeism, and we have that data, and also at the state level we collect attendance data that is broken down for both excused and unexcused absences. And we also do look at truancy rates, even at the school level. So we do have, we're pretty data rich there, and it could be something in the future we could use to measure impact.
Thanks, Todd. What I hear is that we will share this with student learning. We're giving it up as a large category on its own, but we're going to find or think about it in crafting our policies within what other categories that we end up keeping, that it could be a part of that. Anyone else have another comment? I think what I'm going to do now, I'm looking, it's close to 11. I think it's time for another break. But again, I will focus you the next category. We're going to talk about trauma-informed practices and look at the ideas within that category when we come back from break. Questions before we go, and we'll take 10 minutes. I have 10:54. So we'll be back at, 11:05. Thank you. All right, welcome back. Give you just a second for everybody to join us again. So as we start into the next category, trauma-informed practices, I'm going to ask Todd to share a little bit about how the information is organized that he added from the data and the information perspective that he used. Todd?
Thank you, Deputy Commissioner Ebert. I just wanted to highlight, so when I looked at all the committee transformational ideas, it looked to me that the first 10 had tremendous similarity and were really kind of speaking specifically to trauma-informed practices. And then if you flip through the pages, the last page, that'd be page 4, there were three more ideas that were identified that weren't speaking specifically to trauma, but that we identified as trauma-related. And so I kind of put those to the end, but I do believe that the first 10 have tremendous similarity. And so I clustered those and then put some information that I thought might be helpful for committee members to consider as they looked at all these ideas. And so what I included was first just a snippet from Dr. Blodgett, who's really a national forerunner on trauma-informed practices. And the little summary that I included looked just as his language about how the three kind of tiers of trauma-informed practices that we often see, where you start with a school that may just have a very basic understanding of that trauma impacts behavior and learning in students, but they don't really know beyond that what to do with it. And then the second tier is a trauma-sensitive school that has a little deeper understanding and is engaged in some practices with its students to kind of respond to trauma and to improve the school climate around that. And then finally to the third tier, which would be a trauma-informed practicing school that really has a unified system that and incorporates policies and practices that all kind of respond to the needs of a traumatized child to ensure their academic success. And then I also included just a quote from a teacher that talks about the epiphany they had as they learned about trauma-informed practices. And that was just the teacher responded, "What you're telling me is that addressing trauma is not just one more thing on my plate. It is the plate." And really looking at just how when you become trauma-informed and truly practicing, that the kinds of educational reform that you institute really improves social-emotional learning. They address, improving school climate. They reflect a change to using the kind of exclusionary disciplinary policies I've heard many of the members talk about, and really create a true democratic system of education that I think we would all be proud of. And then I went on to just to kind of provide some brief highlights of the department's work toward advancing trauma-informed school practices. And I would say that primarily right now, many of those efforts are dedicated to creating a series of three e-learning modules that we distance delivered trainings that we provide at no cost to districts across the state. We've just completed the first of three, and that's called Overcoming ACEs in Alaskan Schools, Childhood Trauma and Its Impact on Learning. And it's really kind of just trying to build that awareness level around trauma and its impact on learning that I just talked about. And we're deep into the throes of constructing the second course, which will be, on that second tier to kind of assist school personnel in kind of starting to implement some trauma-sensitive responses within their schools. And then we envision sometime next year creating a third trauma-informed practices course. So those resources are up and coming, and they may be influenced by the work that you do, frankly. We anticipate that they fully will, and we'll make changes based on your recommendations. And I also wanted to highlight that we are also broadly supporting the delivery of a training called Youth Mental Health First Aid. And Youth Mental Health First Aid has been delivered to about 2,300 Alaskans over the last couple of years. And
It is a training that was created in Australia, but essentially it's an 8-hour training. It's not only available to school district personnel, but also to other community members, all adults, who need to build an understanding of the warning signs of mental health problems, and then to know that if a child is having a mental health crisis, how to respond, how to do an informal assessment to make sure that they're not in imminent danger, and then to have the confidence and the understanding to refer that child or to walk that child over to somebody who may be able to provide a more professional intervention if that's necessary. But it's an amazing training. It's been tremendously well received in Alaska. We think that we may be expanding our support at the department level under ESSA to deliver that even more broadly. That's our current proposal for our state plan, is to continue to advance supporting that. But it also is totally tied into the trauma-informed approach. And then I also included some data that I've heard a lot of the committee members talk about, the purpose and the structure of school disciplinary and safety programs. And so I've included some language on the current laws and links to the laws if you want to look at that data. And finally, I included a little section because I think it's really important for committee members to understand the frequency with which students are suspended and expelled within Alaska's public schools. And so I've included a little data that shows in the 2015-16 year there were over 20,000 in and out of school suspensions for our students. Thank you.
Thanks, Todd. So that just gives you an idea of the information that Todd provided and what's happening right now at the state level. I want to go back now and focus us first on those 1 through 10 ideas that were generated under this category. I'm going to go back actually before that and say, as we listened to the opening comments and what inspired people, I heard a pretty solid theme that just about everyone mentioned the trauma-informed piece. And so I'm not feeling a need to vote on this category, that we keep it or get rid of it. So I'm feeling that everyone pretty much agreed, and we voted almost unanimously at the last meeting to keep this category for one of ours to continue with. Excuse me. So now I want you to look at the 1 through 10 items that were listed, ideas that came up, and I want to see if we have any consensus about which ones we could immediately maybe eliminate or either combine. Are there duplications there so that we could maybe narrow these down? Would anyone like to take a stab or share their thoughts? Maybe another question the other way. Are there any that you think are ideas that already are transformational or that we could work with as transformational in crafting a policy or a recommendation around?
Santa, this is James. I 2 and 3 are pretty similar, and so are 6 and 7. So maybe those could be reworded and kind of, you know, maybe not even have to, 6 and 7 probably didn't have to be reworded. I think 6 kind of hits it, but maybe 2 and 3 could be rewarded to add the professional development or certified staff, the certification part.
I think 9 also talks about school discipline with the restorative justice approach. Could we take, does it make sense, 6, 7, and 9, and we focus on the restorative justice piece of the discipline, or?
That makes sense to me.
Okay, any other comments or thoughts about that, the school discipline piece?
That makes sense.
Norma.
This is Mary.
Okay, thank you, Mary. Norma, go ahead.
Isn't restorative justice a program? And do we really want, do we really want to put a program in? I realize it's a process, but it actually is a program, a copyrighted kind of a program, I believe. And, you know, just like in an IEP, you never put program, what if it goes away? And then you don't have it. And so in theory, in concept, I'm there, but I'm not sure about specifying a particular program. And then I may be wrong. I maybe don't know enough about it, but.
Norma, this is, yeah, you're exactly right. That's where we want to be at that high level, that it is a concept. And I think Commissioner Williams can speak more to this also if he'd like to. Maybe restorative justice is a program, but that's not, in this context, that is not what we're talking about. We are talking about a philosophy, that looking at that philosophy toward our discipline program or plan for schools.
This is James. One of them says restorative practices. What about using the, because we're basically talking, we're wording now. What about just restorative practices?
I think that sounds great. Yep.
This is Mary. I also agree that we need to stay away from any program, but my understanding of restorative justice is that it's a practice and it's a new way of doing things. It's a transformational way of doing things. Compared to what we've done in the past with school discipline. But I do like the idea of making it very clear when we share the information that we are recommending transformative ideas and practices and not any program.
Thank you, Mary. Well said. Thanks. Any other comments around the discipline idea? Okay. So we've got 6, 7, and 9, so we'll craft some different language around restorative practices regarding discipline. All right, let's go back and look at then 2 and 3 had to do with training or professional development. Any others that go with that?
I would say.
This is Sarah. It looks like number 10 does.
Okay, number 10, receive training, yep. Maureen, did you have?
Yes, I was going to mention the same thing.
Okay, 10 too. Any others? All right, so we have professional development. We have restorative practices regarding discipline. All right, do we see another category emerging from the other ones that are left?
This is Sarah. Number 12 and 13 both have to do with early, beginning early, so beginning at birth and also preschool.
Okay, yes, there were the other three on that last page that kind of were a little bit different. They're sitting out there, so let's look at those two. Thank you, Sarah. That's good. We could craft something around early learning.
Early intervention, the sooner we intervene, the better, is that
safe? Yeah, early intervention, okay. So that leaves us, let's look at number 1. That also talks about intervention outreach for students with behavior.
I think, this is Maureen, and I think we already do this in a sense that in each of our schools, we have a group that looks at kids that are struggling, be that prior to the response to intervention, before that, it's sort of looking at the kids that are struggling, or at the high school level, the student assistance team. So I think that's already happening within our schools. But having that group be trauma-informed would be very helpful.
Okay. Any other thoughts around number one? All right, so we have left to four, ensure that our entire state understands how childhood trauma impacts a child's ability to learn and thrive. Number five also talks about trauma-informed approaches to discipline, education, kind of a collaboration or a coordination of agencies.
Santa, this is James. If we look at number four again, is that your sheet goes over the what versus the how? Is that something that basically the Department of Education wants to try to take on, or is that can we do that a different way, or is that something that the whole committee thinks that we should take on, try to ensure that the whole state understands? This is the question.
Yeah, we're talking about the public education system, so I'm not sure. Can I have somebody else's thoughts or anybody have another comment around this? Again, thank you, James, for bringing us back to what versus how. I think this one probably could go away because we were just having a conversation here with the whole Alaska Education Challenge. Those recommendations and results will be public across the state, so maybe that would start that effort, and it might be something that either the department could build on at some point, but I think that would be the beginning of achieving that. Comments about that? Can we get... Maybe take that one off.
This is James. I say yes.
Other thoughts? All right. I'm going to take it off unless somebody else is very strongly wants to keep it. All right. Number five, then again, with trauma-informed approaches to discipline and education, allow and encourage sharing of information between other departments, try to involve tribal and native corporations. This almost sounds a little bit about like the one above with going, we talked about statewide, but this would be informing or sharing information with other entities outside of the public school system.
This is James. What would that look like? That's probably getting into the how, but what would that look like when we say we're sharing information between education, public safety, and health and social services?
I think the conversation around this, and actually being my past experience at health and social services kind of kicking in here, we were at some point in time, and I think there has been a statewide conversation to try to share some information across agencies that would help provide a better picture of families that we're serving, different areas. Is a family that we're serving possibly in public assistance or child care or Medicaid, also a family that's involved in maybe the correctional system or that they're in school having difficulty, and it would help wrap around services for that family or that child to be more aware and cognizant of that we're not duplicating areas, that we're all working toward the same goal and good. I think we had a little bit of conversation about that at the April 20th meeting about sharing information that way across agencies. But again, I'm not sure that this kind of falls within this purview of the committee, but maybe someone else has a thought.
This is Jerry. When I read that, I see partnerships with other organizations. I think within state government and within public or nonprofit organizations that provide services to people, we often encounter silos. I mean, we say we're cooperating, but we cooperate at a minimal level. And so I think it's breaking down silos and having effective partnerships between public education, private corporations, and local governments, et cetera, to better serve students. Thank you.
Thanks, Jerry.
And this is Todd. I really think that there's an interesting and very different quality and characteristic around safety and health, because it really does involve multiple state departments that to accomplish. I could say that, our school health and safety team, we partner very deeply. We work with the Office of Children's Services to deliver training and understanding and reporting around child abuse and neglect. We partner with public safety around domestic violence and sexual assault and the Alaska Safe Children's Act and creating resources and creating supports. We do the same on multiple platforms. And so I really do think that this is an essential element, that there needs to be interagency sharing of resources and support within schools regarding trauma-informed. But I think that the foundation's already well in place. We're partnering heavily.
This is Maureen, and I would like to share just a couple examples on a more small scale of what it might look like. I read an article about in Saskatchewan, for instance, when the law enforcement are involved with the family the night before, perhaps they would go to the school the next day and say, you might want to keep a closer watch on this little guy, and let him know what happened to the extent that they can, and still respecting the family's privacy. Another example, I know local providers here in Juneau are starting to do ACE screenings in their doctor's offices. So again, gathering that information, working with the families, but also, you might see that on a kindergarten physical, a reference to this child. I don't know if they would include the ACE score, but, just an acknowledgement that the child, what they've been through is going to impact their ability to learn. And so the medical community, working with the parents and acknowledging this, and also kind of making sure that the school understands that information as they're starting to work with the child.
Thank you, Maureen. It sounds to me like we keep this one, and maybe we try to craft the words a little bit differently. So I think right now what I'm hearing, God help me remember. So we've got the restorative practice discipline. We've got the early childhood, early learning piece. We have the professional development. We have, if we keep that, the partnerships with other appropriate organizations or agencies. Did I miss something?
Well, we're going to eliminate number four, the insurer.
Yeah, we're eliminating four. Did we make a decision about one? Does that fall under?
Maureen spoke to that and said.
Well, she thought we already had.
It almost seems like number one and the beginning of number five almost seems like two. Partnership, not working within our silos being one of them, and then the trauma-informed approaches mm-hmm. to discipline and education. And I think number one could kind of be rolled into...
as an internal piece and the other the external partnership.
Yeah.
Okay.
this is Jeff Lansing. Can I piggyback off Maureen? We have student study teams. We have our PBIS team. We talk about kids like that within the school. In Delta itself, we have, for the past 10 years, have what we call our interagency team, and we meet once every 3 weeks. We have public health, OCS, troopers, the magistrate, school administrators and counselors, and Fort Greeley reps. We sit around and we meet. It's a formalized cooperation, and we discuss kids. We talk about what's going on.
Thank you, Jeff. So that sounds like it is happening, or like I said, something that we can maybe craft in with the other partnership piece. I have one other that I don't think, it's number 8, apply known results of ACES project research. Every child in school is identified with one significant caring advocate. This also comes up in the school climate. I'm thinking maybe we move this one to the school climate and talk about it there as a transformational piece of that. Does that sound okay? Or?
Yeah, this is Walt, I think so.
Okay, we'll move that one. And then we had one last on that last page, which was suspension should be served at school by parents or the students can't come back once the student goes. Is that a what or a how? I think that maybe comes under the category of a how.
Yes, it's a how.
Okay, so I think I'm going to take that one. So, Todd, do you want to read that, those 5 pieces real quick, and then we'll wrap this up?
Read back.
The 5, so I'm sorry. Maybe I can remember them. Professional development, early learning, restorative justice or restorative practices for discipline, the partnership, and I think we had one more. Do we have one more? Is that it? Oh, so 4. All right. Okay, so we will craft words that we heard from people and now whittle that under trauma-informed practices to those 4 areas. And again, we'll always come back to it and as we reflect and think on it during our break to see if we've missed anything or we didn't capture it exactly as we want to.
Dana, this is James.
Yes, James. Go ahead.
Real quick, Walt did bring up the fact that the attendance or truancy should be under 2. So maybe I don't want to get into the how, but just want to bring that up. Make sure we don't lose it.
Okay, we'll add an attendance piece under this one also. Any other comments? Questions?
Well, maybe, and this is Walt again, maybe just include the word attendance and with the one of the other ones, the committees or the practices. That'd be one of the factors to look at, that's all.
Under the other categories or under one of the others under the trauma?
Under the trauma.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll look and see if it fits and what it fits under and see if we can craft that into the words.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments?
Yeah, this is James again. I think it'd fit good under that number 5 because it would bring in the community into, you know, what's happening with the data and what's tracking. And so I think the attendance piece would work good under 5 and maybe sharing of information such as, and then you can add that in as a specific.
Okay, thank you, James. Other thoughts or comments? All right, so we're heading into our last 20 minutes here, so I don't think we're going to have enough time to tackle the other two categories today, so we will pick up at our next meeting with the next two categories to talk through those ideas. So next steps, I want people during this the break time, again, read through the other two categories. During our break from our next meeting. What are we missing? Are there other ideas that we need to consider? What other information do we need to have around these topics? In other words, I think Mary shared that she had information she would like to present to the committee. Is there other data or information that we need, presentations by another entity that would be pertinent to our discussions? I also want to get a feel about people's comfort with Smartsheet, because I don't think we've had a lot of traffic on the Smartsheet page yet at all. But I do want to start directing us there because, as James shared, he's posted an article there. Jerry posted the McKinsey study again. Todd has posted all this information that we went over today and shared. We will continue to post information. And it's also the platform that we can have discussions where everyone can participate. So if anyone needs training or direction or help with that, they could contact Aaron Harden at the department or Todd Brocious, and either one of those would be happy to answer questions or give you a very short tutorial.
This is Walt. Sign me up. I'm always, I don't understand technology.
I will speak. I'm pretty technologically challenged, and it is pretty easy. So Erin's taken your name, and she'll contact you to give you that short tutorial.
Thank you.
And this is Mary. I'll go ahead and post some information I have before the next meeting so that people can see what I was sharing or talking about earlier.
Okay. So I'm going to take a few minutes. I want to give everybody, like I said, we're running out of time here. Our next meeting, though, is July 26th, but we're going to meet at 1 in the afternoon. We're kind of flip-flopping time, so in case we don't miss the same people for any scheduling conflicts, but it will be from 1 to 4. So before we close, I'm going to go back around and do one more quick. So we have maybe 1 minute for everybody to share some final comments from today's meeting and whatever you'd like to comment on or share, or if there's specific data or information you would like to have presented at the next meeting or either posted or shared on Smartsheet. So I'm going to start at the bottom of our list. This time we'll go up, and I have Jeff. I'll let you start for us.
I thought it was a very productive meeting, and I appreciate everybody's willingness to look at all these important issues.
Thank you. Maureen?
I ditto what Jeff said. Been very helpful, and we made great progress.
Okay, and remember, let me know if you need any additional information. Next, Sarah.
I agree, it was a productive meeting. The things that I'm wanting to know more about, I know a decent amount about restorative approaches, but less about trauma-informed practices, and I'm wondering if they're competing or cooperative or the same thing, or anyway, I'd like to dive into that just a little bit more and also see how it ties into overall school climate.
Okay, thank you, Sarah. Mary?
Sorry,
Sorry, I lost you there for a second. I think that this was a great meeting. I wasn't sure how it was going to go for 3 hours without seeing each other face to face, but it was very well facilitated and kept on track. I look forward to talking more about school climate and seeing and also addressing how all of these categories really do well, work well together to move in a direction that's going to be best for the kids throughout our state.
Thank you, Mary. Commissioner Williams?
No, I don't have anything more. Thanks, everybody, for everybody's work.
Commissioner Monaghan?
Yeah, I apologize for coming up with too many hows and not what. Just that's the old cop in me. I apologize. I'll be back next time, okay?
No, we need to talk about the hows also. I think it helps us get a better handle on the what. I think sometimes it's easier for us to think of the how, but then that's the way our brains will then translate that into the what side. So thank you. We need that conversation too, and we're very glad you're here and a part of this committee.
Thank you.
Lillian, any comments?
I thought it was a really good meeting. Like Mary, I wasn't sure how it would go over the phone for 3 hours. But it went really well. One thing I would like to know more about, like Sarah said, is trauma-informed practices. I know a bit about them, but I've never been to a school where they've been put in place. So I think it'd be cool to know more, even though we're focusing on what, I think it would be interesting to learn how they are put in place in other schools.
Thank you. Laura?
Hi. I really appreciate you facilitating this. It was very well done. I was a little hesitant as well with a three-hour meeting on the phone. I thought it was a really productive meeting. I would like to also get some further information on restorative practices in schools that have already used it, and not restorative justice programs, but actually the restorative practices, as well as for our next meeting, SEL curriculum or SEL interventions for school climate, any type of data that's available out there. Thanks.
Thank you, Laura. Norma?
I really appreciated the information and the comments today. I learned that there's a lot I don't know, so I have some work before July 26th.
Thank you. That's the beauty. I think we all have lots that we can learn together. So thank you, Norma. Pete?
Yes. I really enjoyed the discussion on the trauma-informed practices. To me, that's a big one. Also, yeah, bringing in the social and emotional learning, SEL component of that, too. Would be excellent, but very productive day.
Thank you. Representative Tallarico, any comments?
I really appreciate this, and I'm sorry that I missed the first meeting, but it was, I appreciate the comments of other folks, and it was very well done. Sometimes teleconferences don't go well. The next time I'll find a little more private setting so I don't have 8 visitors in my office during our teleconference. But thank you very much.
Well, thank you for joining us today. We appreciate your time.
Hi.
Jane?
Hi there. I enjoyed the meeting very much, and I'm pretty sure from my notes, Senator Giesel will be able to track what went on and what was discussed pretty easily. So thank you.
Thank you for joining us. Jennifer?
I thought it was a great meeting. Thank you, Sana, for making it go so well, especially. For me, I really liked the focus on the trauma-informed. I think that understanding data on in terms of districts that have actually done something with it, that would be lovely to have ahead of time. And also, any data we have on the early intervention side, and in terms of expanding partnerships with, you know, either the medical community or other agencies before kids hit school. So thank you, and look forward to the July meeting.
Thank you. Leona?
Hello. I really appreciated this meeting, and I've learned a lot. I do also have a lot of reading to do before the next meeting, and I thank you.
Thank you for being here. Dr. Hamilton?
I would have a question. I know we had sent some items over to some other committees. Did we receive anything that was sent over to us from the other folks? I didn't hear of anything. I just wanted to make double sure on that.
We have not received anything yet. However, we were kind of a little ahead of some of the other committees because we weeded out in the April 20th meeting and sent ours, but they're kind of having that discussion during the second meeting, so we may be receiving some, and we will post those or let the committee know what has been shared with our committee.
Okay, great. That answers that question. And, of course, you're all invited down to Disney at the end of July. We'll see you down here at the river.
Why would I leave Juno? James?
Yeah, thank you. The trauma-informed practices, that there is one example that the article that I posted is an example of how, you know, one school has put them into play. I'm sure there's plenty of them. But there is one example out there. I'm sure you guys will track down more for people. But, yeah, good meeting. We're getting there. And the next one we're going to have to really buckle down and try to get some down to some transformational points and get pretty specific. But I think it was a good meeting, good discussion, and thank you for everybody for being online for 3 hours.
Jerry, would you like to have any comments?
Yes, I would. First, I'd like to thank you and Todd for your work in putting this together, and thank you for your facilitation. I thought it was terrific. Second, I'd like to thank the committee members. This committee, I've sat through every committee meeting, and this committee is highly dedicated, focused. You're working hard. It's impressive to listen to you, and I'm very confident that you will produce some outcomes and recommendations that are truly transformational. In addition to that, I would like to just make note of the McKinsey study that you mentioned at the beginning, Sana. The McKinsey study speaks to one of the chapters speaks to contextualizing. And I think that as you get closer to crafting your final recommendations, appreciating the context of our system. Some of you are inside the system. Some of you are outside the system of education. Some of you have worked with the system in various ways for many years. And we all bring a different context. And urban, rural, large, small, high-performing, low-performing, middle-range performing, all of those contexts must ultimately fit into your final transformative recommendations. So if you have time during the break and you could take a peek at the McKinsey study, I think it would be beneficial in terms of setting you up to craft recommendations that hit the mark. And again, thank you all.
Thank you, Jerry. I did also forget to mention at the beginning that Andrew Lessig, who was part of our committee, unfortunately has had to resign from this committee. He is moving out of state, so we lost him. But I do want to echo Jerry's comments. Thank you all so much for your time. 3 hours is a long amount of time to sit on a phone conference with people, but you are all engaged and participated. I appreciate that very much. Again, Does anybody have a comment? Again, I want to make sure we're going to be putting information in Smartsheet. You should be receiving an email through Smartsheet every, I think, weekly. There's an update.
Yes, this is Erin with the department. If you have previously logged into Smartsheet, every Friday morning you should get an automated weekly notification that alerts you to all the changes that have happened to the sheet so that you can, at a quick glance, review the comments or what's new to the sheet since the last week. You will not receive that notice until you have logged in for the first time to Smartsheet. And again, please feel free to reach out if you need any assistance in getting up and running on that page.
So thank you all very much. And any other last clarifying questions or any comments before we close for today? All right, thank you all very much and have a great afternoon.
Bye. Bye, thank you.